big old trout.
Big
it's just as
trout.
Cool as the evening shade. Well, I toss my line and I haul it up. I think I've got it made.
Okay, we are listening to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio. And in our studio south of the border, from live and direct from the beautiful city of peace, La Paz, Baja California Sur, which is now the capital of Baja California Sur. But we're going to be talking to a lovely young lady from Loreto. And we're going to find out a little bit about the original capital, not just of Baja California, sir, but all of California. Anna, do we have you?
Yes. Hello, John.
What a pleasure. And
Anna, say hi to me, please.
Oh,
hi,
no.
Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing good, baby.
Anna, I'm so sorry. I forgot to tell you Grizz was going to be with us.
I'm glad he is.
Okay.
I'm very glad. Is Charlie there?
No, Charlie's not online. Charlie's actually filming right now.
Charlie is Grizz's son and co-host on Adventure South of the Border.
Okay.
No, actually, Charlie is a host, and I'm the co-host anymore.
Okay. Anna, what we would like to do is, you know, we don't have a lot of time in this segment, and we could spend hours on this, but what I would like to do is spend a little bit of time explaining to people about Loreto, which is, you know, a very, very famous fishing area in the world. And it's unique in the fact that we're talking today and there's only, what, about how many, a population of, what, less than 20,000?
Oh, yes. Loreto is still a fishing village. It's at the last count, that was less than a year ago, 17,500.
Okay.
It's still a small town, very secure, peaceful. You know, you still, I go out and wave to the everyone, you know. I feel like the queen of the carnival, waving to everyone, you know, just,
you are you are the queen of the carnival.
Yeah.
You still can walk in the streets and meet everyone, greet you, and even if you are not from here, because of the fact there's still that peacefulness, you know, around,
right.
around
well,
my town.
Let's people understand that Anna Gloria Davis is one of the proprietors of the Oasis Hotel.
Correct, yes, I'm the youngest one of three.
Okay.
My dad from Mexico City came, and my mom captured him in her net.
By feeding him clams.
Yeah. You know that story, right? Yes, that's the
yep.
bait we use over here.
The
to
bait.
Catch our men. Well, talking fishing, that's the way we are. And so my mom and my dad built the Hotel Oasis in 1962, and almost 50 years in December 7th.
Okay, well, we're going to have a celebration.
I guess so. I'm pretty excited. We're thinking maybe something small because of the situation, you know, mm-hmm. all over. But, yes, those 50 years has been really a treat, a pleasure, you know, to be around with so many people that is still coming, three generations. Sometimes I have guests, if they're getting less, you know, but they come, the first ones that my parents greeted, and the sons, and now the grandsons. So
mm-hmm.
three generations have come over here and fish.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they feel like the Oasis is their home.
Well, the very first time I visited Baja was probably before you were born, but it was, seems to me
definitely before I was.
Yeah, it was. Seems to me it was in the first part of the 70s when we flew down to the Flying Fisherman, which is no longer there. But Loreto has always been known for certain things. First of all, yellowtail. It's got to be the yellowtail capital of the world. And then, you know, in the summertime when the water warms up, the yellowfin tuna, dorado are prolific, and you know, you do still get some marlin.
Oh, yes. At this time, for instance, we're catching lots of dorado, as well as not as big, but they stayed here, the yellowtail, between 25 pounds to 38
mm-hmm.
pounds, and still catching at this time, as a matter of fact, yesterday, by Del Carmen Island, dorados, a lot of dorado, excellent for the regular fishermen as well as the fly fishing, between 25 pounds to 40 pounds.
Wow.
45. They're getting the big ones this time. Sailfish, marlin, yes, they're not as big as in Cabo San Lucas, to tell you the truth, but it's a lot. It's fun to see, you know, the sales going on and the
yes.
beach, you know, the school. Mm-hmm. It's nice. It's very nice to see them.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and it's a little bit late for yellowtail, but apparently they're still there, even though the water has not warmed up as fast this year.
Exactly, exactly. It's maybe because in Inferno Floreto and inland, it's been raining, and maybe the current cold down.
Interesting.
Sí. Mm-hmm. That has been for the last, I don't know, a week or so. Maybe. That's what I think. I'm not a meteorologist. But I love sweet fish, that's for sure. And yellowtail is my favorite.
Yeah. Well,
sea bass around, all year round.
You know, Baja, obviously, you know, is very close to my heart, as it is with Grizz. But there is a mountain range, you know, that runs right down through, is it the Sierra Madres? Is that what it is?
No, La Giganta.
Hacienda, yeah.
Sí.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
La Giganta.
And
Giganta, the giant.
Yeah, well, that's what, 7,000 feet at the peak? Something like that.
Yeah.
But anyway, Anna,
I
would like to talk about, obviously this is a fishing program, but I would like people to understand a little bit about the history of Loreto. It was founded, as I recall, in 1697.
Exactly, on October 24th.
Oh, okay.
And at 4:30.
Okay. and you know, that was really, and at that time it became the capital of California, correct?
Correct, yes.
But it wasn't the capital of California Baja Sur or California Baja Norte. It was the capital of California.
The whole California.
Which
yes.
included?
United States. The whole state of California, USA.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
And the missions that were built, the Jesuits started build the first mission here in Loreto, the second one in San Javier, and then the Dominicans came and they started doing all the way to Monterrey, California.
Mm-hmm. And that was, well, of course, Father Sierra, I think, was a Franciscan, but yeah,
in San Diego, I guess, and then they changed to, yes, you're right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's something very few people, you know, can even comprehend or understand, that, you know, most all of the southwest United States at one time was part of Mexico.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
So with Arizona, New Mexico, and California was all at one time part of the nation of Mexico.
Yeah. Yes. And, well, the missions are still there, and we share a big part of the history.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah, that is nice.
And the great thing about Loreto is that, as you mentioned, there are other places. Yeah, and you know, I love Cabo San Lucas, but the first time I went down there, it was probably not a whole lot different than what Loreto is now. But Loreto is still the same, even though, you know, it's gotten, you know, newer hotels and cleaned up. But you know, there's no graffiti. There is no timeshare people. There's no children selling chiclets. It's just a very warm, traditional Mexican town with great fishing and certainly with a traditional hospitality.
Yes, definitely, definitely. Yeah, both destinations started at the same time, almost at the same time. For some reason, Cabo will grow a lot. And for, even though I'm the one that, you know, been promoting Loreto for 50 years, you know, definitely I want Loreto to grow, but mm-hmm. deep in my heart, I'm very happy
right.
that hasn't grown, because we don't have that kind of problem.
Right.
And coming from big cities,
right.
that's what you're looking for. And maybe...
Anna, we're gonna have to go. We're out of time. But just in 5 seconds, how do we get in touch with the Hotel Oasis?
Oh, you can call us in our 1-800 number, which is
1-800-866-482-0247.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. See. Thank you, Anna. We got to go. We love having you on. We'll do that again real quick. Grizz, you stay tuned. We're going to be right back. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio. Lake Cochuma is a California treasure. Bald eagles, deer, egrets, foxes, wild turkeys play on the banks and in the trees. Red ear, bluegill, bass, and catfish inhabit the waters. Rainbow trout are planted on a regular basis and easily caught from boat or shore. Lake Cochuma Boat Rentals is a key to a successful day on the lake. Call 805-688-4040 for information. Tackle, skiff, or pontoon boat rental. Call Craig at 688-4040, 20 minutes north of Santa Barbara. Cochuma Boat Rentals for a day to remember.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to reelfunadventures.com.
I was fishing last Friday on a lake in Mississippi in the humid summer heat. On a boat with my best friend Cletus, who was sleeping in the back seat. Well, the bites were slow and we were running low. Chips and Gatorade.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio with the Grizz.
I'm here, John.
Thank gosh.
Okay. Yeah, I'm here sweating. Oh, yeah. It's pretty warm down here now.
Oh, is it in La Paz?
Yeah, we're up to 101 today.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's pretty warm. Water temperature's coming up. Water temperature right now is 84 degrees here.
Oh.
So, you know, we got a lot of good fishing now, a lot of Dorado and stripes and a few blues showing up once in a while, and haven't seen a black or heard of a black yet.
Well, it's sure a lot different than what it was when I was down there a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, the thing's changing. It's been a crazy year down here, John.
Right.
I mean, it's just, I've never experienced anything like that. You'll be fishing at 83 degree temperature and go out the next day and it'll be 69 with these currents. It's just been playing crazy with us. But, you know, that's what happens. You got to go out there and find where the currents are and get out there and throw for them.
Well,
find out what's happening.
That's right. And we talked about this before when I was down there, you know, leaving the marina and it was in the 60s. And then you know, the water temperature jumps 15, 20 degrees after you get out of ways. But, you know, there's things change in the ocean. As you mentioned last time we talked about this, it's not a puddle. Because there's currents, there's wind, there's chop, and there's things that change. And then, of course, the fish follow the bait, and the bait have fins and tails. And whatever happens, you just never know. You got to go find them every day. Anyway, if you don't mind, Grizz, let's go.
Well, never mind, John.
Let's go a little bit south of you. We're going to go all the way down to San Jose, the capital city of Costa Rica, and talk to Mark. Who is Mark? Is a booking agent for, was it Americana? Mark, is that what the name of your company now?
It's Americana Sport Fishing, but mm-hmm. we do all kinds of things. We do sport fishing and general tourism as well.
Mark, give us a quick idea. There's somebody on the line now. Give us a quick idea of some of the areas of Costa Rica, where the fish are, where the fishing part is, and maybe a little bit about what time of the year you want to go down there.
Okay. Well, fishing is 34/7. The peak season is really from, let's say, December 15th to April 15th. That's for sales off the central Pacific coast.
Mm-hmm.
It's about to... That's on the Pacific side. That's a great time for fishing. Also, the South Pacific, all sails, marlin, tuna, and on the Caribbean side for tarpon.
Okay.
As I said, there's more to Costa Rica than just fishing.
Well, Costa Rica is not a very big country, but it's obviously very well situated, and it is just it's when you talk about North and South America, but actually, the Central America, where you are, Costa Rica runs more east and west, but you're kind of situated right above Panama, is that correct?
Between Panama and Nicaragua.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a thin, narrow strip. If you want to travel from coast to coast, it'll through San Jose. The quickest route will probably take you about Oh, I would say 4 hours. If you go from, let's say, from Paco to San Jose to Limon, you can look at four and a half hours, one coast to the other. That's not a bad drive.
No, it's not. And then, of course, you go to the, you got to go over the top of the mountains and down the other side. So when you fly into San Jose, you just kind of drop downhill to wherever you're going to go. Now,
San Jose is in the center, what they call the Central Valley, which is an elevated, even if it's not really a valley, it's an elevated plateau.
Right. Well, it's the top of the mountain, so you just kind of drop down either side. Of course, my preference is the Pacific side, and you've got some great fishing down there, which can happen most of the year. And your season, because you're so close to the equator. Actually, I don't know how far you are from the equator, but you're very close. But the difference is not so much 13 that the
degree.
13? Okay. But it's a matter of the time of the year and the rainy season that you could be concerned about, correct?
Well, we're just coming into what's called the rainy season. And for those who want to know, it doesn't really rain all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like South Florida. Like now, we're just into the rainy season. Lovely mornings and overcast and afternoon and late afternoon. It'll rain a bit. Evenings clear up and gorgeous. The real rainy month is in October, and even so, let's say I'm in San Jose, you probably will get a day's rain maybe three times a year.
Mm-hmm. And so the best time of the year to come to Costa Rica is when again? You want to say that again?
I would say from December 15th to April 15th.
Mm-hmm.
Your chances of it being sunny and really nice are 99%.
Mm-hmm.
And especially on the Pacific side. On the Caribbean side, later at that time, when you get into end of January, February, March, it rains there.
Well, one of the things that I know about Costa Rica is that Costa Rica has, well, let's just say at the front of the pack, as far as fly fishing for billfish, and I'm sure Grizz will have a comment on that, but I think you guys are ahead of the curve, and it's still probably one of the best places to go and the best trained captains and boats if you're interested in doing that.
Absolutely. We have some really top-notch captains in Costa mm-hmm. Rica. Those who keep track of IGFA affairs know that Bobby McGinnis, who fishes out of Golfito in the South Pacific, was twice chosen world's top captain by the IGFA in 2006-2010, setting the most world record. He's an IGFA ambassador captain and one of the great guys to fish with.
And if somebody wants to go fishing with him, they can get in touch with you.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
We have a pipeline. We have a pipeline.
There you go. Hey, Grizz, do you have a comment on fly fishing for billfish in Costa Rica?
Well, I've done it. I was down there with Stu App, and we caught some nice sailfish on the fly. And I think Costa Rica is probably the capital of the world for the sail fishing on a fly rod. Am I right there?
Yeah, it is. I mean, there's some really fine captains who do that. Great time to do it. If you want to do it, you come down Pacific Coast between Central Pacific, between, as I said, December 15th and especially February, March, and the South Pacific starting mid-November.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like what John made the comment, those guys, those captains and guys, which is very, very difficult even here in Mexico to find people that know how to tease up billfish so you can actually throw a fly to them. But in Costa Rica, when I was down there, the guys I fished with, everybody really were experienced and know how to handle the boat and tease up billfish so we could cast to them. And also, you got some pretty good rooster fish down there, too.
Absolutely. It's a great place for rooster, especially in the South Pacific coast, off the outside Gulf of Dulce and the rocks there. Excellent roosters. A little bit further down as well. And also in the North Pacific, in the outside of Tamarindo. And then further north and the further north.
That's where I fished.
Yep, and then you go up a little further, up to the Bay of Papagayo, and there are the Murciélago Bat Island, which is known for their big roosters.
Yeah, I mean, you guys got about everything you want. It's a real fly fishing fisherman's paradise there. And like I commented, there the people know how to handle a guy with a fly rod. And, you know, the boat captains, everything can put you on the fish. And I think it's real good. And you've got good roosters. In fact, I'm going rooster fishing tomorrow with a fly rod. And, well, I'll tell you, rooster fish for me is one of my most favorite fish.
Great little feisty game fish. I mean, you and I know that a 35-pound rooster will give you as much bite as a 110-pound sail. A lot more fun.
Yeah. Well, you know what I really got that turns me on is when you cast out to a rooster and he throws up that dorsal. Why? He's got his name as a rooster fish because it looks like the tail end of a rooster. And when he comes up there and comes after that fly, I mean, it's like a shark coming out of the water after it. It's just absolutely exciting.
But Grizz, to make a comment on that, one of the exciting things about rooster is they tend to be inshore in water that's not that deep. And, of course, in Baja, where you are, and in Costa Rica, the water is crystal clear so that you can actually see them chasing the bait. Like you said, their dorsal comes up, and you can actually watch them as they chase the bait, and you get to set the hook.
Yeah, you know, the great thing about it is for me, John, is the reason I like them so well is my divers. Like you said, they're inshore, and my divers, when we're making a television show, it's always crystal clear water. If it's green water, most of the time they're not there. So you get really good underwater shots with them.
That's great fishing. I mean, action can't beat the action on roosters.
Mark, Costa Rica sounds very exotic. We don't have a whole lot of time left, but we're going to give you a plug on how to get in touch with you. But I also know that, especially if you go through Mark and you go to Americana Sport Fishing, there's some very, very reasonable packages that can be put together in the city of San Jose, which you're going to fly into, and then you just take a pretty short commute, and I guess you've got a new road that goes down to the Pacific now. So it's real easy to get down there, and very inexpensive. So just in 10 seconds, give us your contact information, how to get in touch with you.
Very simple, John. Look at FishCostaRica.com, very simple. You can find us at AmericanaSportFishing.com. We have toll-free numbers.
Okay.
We'll tailor a package.
There you go. Okay, we got to go. Or you can just go to FishTalkRadio.com and click on Americana Sport Fishing. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
West Marine covers Southern California with convenient locations for all your boating and fishing needs. The new superstore on Shelter Island in San Diego, nearly a block in length, has West Marine's largest saltwater fishing selection on the West Coast. This is the world's largest marine store, located one block from Shelter Island Drive at 1250 Rosecrans. Not only stocked to the gills, the staff has selected fishing experts in what to buy, plus how and where to use it. For boating, fishing, and water sports, this is the ultimate. West Marine.
Set on the magnificent Sea of Cortez, the Grand Heritage Resort and Spa at Marina Costa Baja is the first five-star resort in La Paz, Baja South. Overlooking a 250-slip marina and white sand beaches, enjoy two signature restaurants, a world-class destination for fishing or diving. Enjoy five-star elegance in the charming laid-back city of La Paz. Dock your boat and enjoy the Marina Village. Visit on the web at CostaBajaResort.com.
I'm going fishing. I'm going fishing. Now let me tell you now, I don't care about the evening news. I'm going fishing.
I'm going fishing.
Oh, Lord, no, no, no. Now, sir, I don't care what the boss man do. I'm going fishing.
I'm going fishing.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio with the Grizz, who's in our other studio a little bit south of us here down in Baja, California, sir, capital city of La Paz. And we also have on the line with us Chelsea, which is Chelsea is one of the people that helps operate the facilities for California Parks Company at Lake San Antonio and Nacimiento in more central Southern California. Chelsea, this must be the time of the year for you. It's not. Okay. Well, Grizz, let's...
What happened?
I don't know.
It wasn't her time of the year. She left.
I don't know.
She evaporated, yeah, John.
So, well, she was there. She was there. But you know, hopefully...
Well, it must be hot there because everywhere that it's hot, the people evaporate.
Well, I can tell you that Lake Nacimiento and Lake San Antone, it is, it's a great place to go when it's hot because some of the lakes you can't not actually get in and have fun in with getting in the water and water skiing and that type of thing. But I think that Chelsea is back with us now. She got rid of her obligations so that she's going to spend her whole time with us. Chelsea!
Hello. Yes, I did get rid of them. All aside
we thought you evaporated.
I thought I did too.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding.
Anyway, we were just talking a little bit about Lake Nacimiento and Lake San Antone, which it's, and again, was not that long ago. I was up visiting with you and very impressed, of course, with you and the lakes. But if anybody's interested in visiting Central California in the summertime, why would they want to go by and see you?
Well, if you're in the area, you definitely need to come and stop on by. They're two beautiful, beautiful lakes, and they're giant. They're 18 miles long, roughly, for both of them. You know, beautiful blue water. You can go in the water, which, you know, around here is unusual. So you can actually, you know, go in the water. You can swim. You can cool off on these hot summer days. It's been so hot here recently. The water's warm, so when you jump in, it feels great.
Mm-hmm.
Boating, water skiing, wakeboarding, of course, you know, great, great fishing. You came out and experienced that. All types of fishing from, you know, bass to crappie and bluegill and catfish, great fishing. We have lodging. We have tons of camping, over 350 spots at Nacimiento. So just a really, really great time and beautiful, beautiful place.
Well, I can say that, of course, I've been there. And you're right. In California, a lot of the lakes are water supply. So you can recreate, but you cannot always get in the water. But Nacimiento and San Antone, not only can you get in, but with all of the... I think they call it, was it the dragon, something like that?
Yep,
because
the dragon.
If you look at a picture of the lake, it's got all these different, you know, legs and wings and arms that, you know, that you can go in the main part of the lake. You can go as fast as you want to go, water skiing, having a great time. And then if you want to go fishing and have a little bit more relaxing, there's all these different inlets that you can go into and be completely private.
Exactly. There's beautiful, beautiful arms that have, you know, gorgeous bright green trees and bald eagles are flying around here, which is so, so cool to see. This, you know, past few days that the bald eagles have just been out and flying around. And, yeah, I mean, you can this place is so cool. I love it. You go from quiet and secluded
right.
to, you know, as fast as you want on your boats and jet skiing and water skiing. And it's just awesome.
Well, and if someone's on a road trip and they're not necessarily in an RV, what kind of facilities do you have?
We have 19 different lodges at Nacimiento, and we have 16 at San Antonio. They're all overlooking the water, so gorgeous, gorgeous rooms, ranging from lodges that can hold 4 people up to 10 people. So if you just want to stop here for the night, stay in one of our lodges. We actually have a restaurant on site. So you don't even have to worry about that. You can come and eat some yummy food in our restaurant. And we have boat rentals. So you pretty much can come without anything and just have a great, great time. We can fully hook you up and you'd have a great vacation here.
Okay. And you're just, not too far from, just inland from Paso Robles. And it's you know, right off the 101. And you have a website that you might direct us to?
It's NacimientoResort.com and LakeSanAntonioResort.com.
Okay. Well, if you go to Lake
San Antonio... Sorry, go on.
No, go ahead.
All of our information's all online on our boat rentals and our lodging and all of our camping. So you can find out everything just right online.
Okay.
And give us a call if you have any more questions.
Fantastic. And it's also online. And Lake San Antonio.com, is that what you said?
Lake San Antonio Resort.
San Antonio, okay, resort. Now, if anybody can spell Nacimiento, just let me know and I'll give you a prize.
But we really need to figure out this prize.
Yeah, okay. Maybe we'll give you a free night's lodging or something. But
we
also,
can come up with that.
The white bass is something very unique, a lot of fun, and the only place you're going to find it is Nacimiento.
And, exactly.
And Chelsea, you did a great job as usual. We appreciate you coming on.
Well, thank you for having me.
Okay. Now, we're going to go to Aaron Lejeune from the he's one of the writers for Bass Angler magazine, and he's going to give us a little bit of idea what's happening in the rest of the world with bass.
Well, hey, guys. How's it going?
Oh, just keeps getting
great,
better.
Buddy.
Just keeps getting better. But give us a quick idea, Aaron. Well, first of all, give us a quick idea about what you do and what you do for Bass Angler magazine.
Well, I am a professional angler fishing out here on the West Coast. I do a couple local tournament circuits, and I'm a staff writer for Bass Angler magazine. I'm their bioanalyst, so I do research and things associated with the bass biology.
Well, that's interesting. So you talk fish?
As much as I can.
But anyway, that's a subject that I think we talked about before. We don't want to go into that right now about how bass or different fish perceive things and, you know, the different senses they use and how they do it. But give us a quick idea this time of the year, what's happening around the United States as far as bass.
This time of the year, we got, you know, the hot temps. So bass, they're going to be moving a little bit to the deeper waters. They want that cool water, or they're going to find some current. They're just like you and I. When it gets hot, they want to be indoors where it's cool. So They're going to be looking for cover. They're going to be looking for, like I said, the current and cool water. They're going to go a little bit deeper. So you got to fish for them ledges and the deeper areas of the lake to find them.
Well, that's a good tip. Now, typically bass, a largemouth bass, as opposed to trout, they tend to like warmer water. Is that correct?
Compared to trout, yes. You're going to find, you know, bass are going to be in lower elevations where the water's warmer. That is true.
Mm-hmm. And
I was going to tell you, say in the summertime's the exception, though. The summertime, you know, they're trying to, the warmer part of the lakes, you're not going to find the majority of the bass. You'll find them in the cooler parts in the summer because they like a static environment of temperature.
Okay. And normally, how deep do you have to go this time of the year to find them?
Well, John, that's a relative term to your lake. So if you're fishing a lake that's the deepest part 12 feet, then you're going to want to look, you know, anywhere between the 8 to 12 foot range. If you got this in California, we got higher impoundment lakes that are as deep as 60 feet. So you can find some bass, and you know, in that lake at 30 feet, just depending on the structure around that's available to them.
Right, and bass do like structure, don't they?
Yes, they do. They did definitely gravitate to it. And then they need the structure, and of course they're going to gravitate to the food source in that lake too. So you need those two things for sure.
Okay. Well, why don't you give us some tips on people that are out there that may not be professional bass anglers like yourself on how to help them succeed in catching bass?
If we're talking about some summertime patterns, you know, you can never go wrong with a drop shot if you're looking for bass in deep water or some sort of little 4-inch worm bait with the weight on the bottom. Fishing some jigs deep, too. You know, make it kind of slow. Give them a presentation that stays in their face for a longer period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Look for those offshore humps and ledges. And then look for the bait on if you're using the sonar. You know, try to learn how to use your sonar a little better. I mean, you can find the food base, the forage, then you're going to find the bass.
Okay. Now, do you have any tips, and this is a whole different subject entirely, but have any tips on how to read sonar, or, you know, sometimes known as a fish finder, which I think is not really exactly what it is, but do you have any tips on what to look for?
The best tip I have when it comes to your fish finder is you got to read your manual. They're so technical now, and there's so many things that they can do. Just reading your manual and learning the ins and outs. But as far as looking for the fish, you know, you want to look for those underwater structures and things that will hold them and start looking for arches and the way that they're moving through your screen to help you figure out how the fish are positioned and what they're doing down there in the water column.
Okay. Now, when you're looking, we're talking about arches. That means if you've got your fish finder set not on icons that show fish, but not necessarily fish, but actually true readings. So it's like a kind of a half. It's like a crescent.
Yeah, that's correct. That's called fish ID on your sonar, and that can give you false readings sometimes. It may not be a fish. It could be some floating debris, and then you might mistake that for a fish. So the arches on that are going to be your best bet.
Well, when you say it may not be a fish sometimes, I think that's an understatement. But anyway, to learn more, I would suggest you go to the Bass Angler Magazine, and the website is?
That's BassAnglerMag.com.
BassAnglerMag.com, and you can listen to Aaron and find out everything you can read about Aaron and find out everything you need to know about bass fishing in the summertime. Thank you, Aaron, very much.
All right, thank you.
All righty. Hey, Grizz, you've been quiet. We're listening to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan, and I assume that the Grizz from Adventure South of the Border is still there, and we appreciate you tuning in.